This morning I want us to look at this Psalm 120, and then next week we'll look at, believe it or not, Psalm 121. And the reason why I'm doing that is because there's a group of psalms from 120 to 134. If you read them in your Bibles, you will see that they all have the same heading. They call Songs of Ascents, and they were given this title for reasons of which we are not quite sure, but they seem to have been used by the Jewish people as they traveled towards Jerusalem on their pilgrimage three times a year to go and participate in the... There we go. Something happened there, Graham. Well done. You can have the rest of the day off. And these psalms are really psalms for pilgrims. And so I want to... I've actually called these two sermons, Pilgrim's Progress, because I was thinking of the beginning of the year, and I wondered what type of vision and what type of message I would want to bring to you as you look forward to the new year. Because we often come to this time of the year and we think something is ending. And in actual fact, nothing's ending. And we think something is beginning, but nothing is actually beginning. What this time of the year tells me I've got to do is I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going because I am a pilgrim. I am a sojourner, and I must keep going. And these psalms are sort of psalms for climbers, or as somebody once said, they are a hitchhiker's guide to the galaxy. And these psalms are like a hitchhiker's guide to the believer. Because what they do is they express the experiences that one goes through when you're on this pilgrimage. And just as the Jews went through a physical pilgrimage, where they actually traveled physically with their families down to Jerusalem from wherever they lived, and often it was from far parts of the world, they would travel to Jerusalem. They went on a physical journey, but we as Christian people, we go on a spiritual journey. We go on the journey of life. And that journey of life will continue now because we are still alive. The Lord has spared us till this day, and we are part of this great journey. You know, we sing that hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." And that's really what we are. We are pilgrims going through a barren land. You know, perhaps one of the greatest books ever written was by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. And it begins, "As I walk through the wilderness of this world." You see, that's how he saw it as well. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." And while we are in this life, and while we are in this world, we are in a wilderness. We are not yet home. We are still on the journey. And many Christians forget this, and many Christians get a wrong perspective of life. And many Christians have wrong expectations of life. They expect everything out of the wilderness. They think that the Christian life is all about the journey, when in actual fact, it's all about the destination. It's where we are going that is so important. And it is these psalms that help us to grasp that concept of pilgrimage. And these psalms have a kind of what I would call a Zionward direction. These psalms go in one direction. They all head towards Jerusalem. You see? And as we journey along this road, this Christian road that we are called to walk along, we will discover all sorts of things. And I want to speak to you about some of those things this morning, because this particular psalm begins on a rather dark note. Because what you find in this psalm is that it's an unresolved psalm. He starts off in distress, and the psalm ends with him still in distress. In actual fact, it starts by him saying, I call to the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. But then it ends, he says, I'm a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So it starts with distress and it ends with war. It's almost as if the tension and the stress hasn't been lifted, and it hasn't, because he is still on the journey. This psalm is not about arriving in Jerusalem. This psalm is about getting to Jerusalem. And of course, in the Bible, Jerusalem is the city of God, and it is symbolic of heaven. And every Christian is walking that road. So the physical journey that these Jews took is the same spiritual journey that we take. You know, the image of being a pilgrim is found throughout the Bible, that Christians are pilgrims. What is interesting is Christians are never called pilgrims. But the lifestyle that is described is that of a pilgrim. So for instance, just to give you one example from Hebrews chapter 11, it says this about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. As he went out, not knowing where he was going, it's almost like us. You know, we are heading towards heaven, and yet we don't exactly know where it is, but we know the Lord is taking us there, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went and lived in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For, listen to this, for he was looking forward to the city that had foundations whose designer and builder is God. You see, Abraham got up and he left and he obeyed God's word, because not because of the journey, but because of the destination. He was looking for the city whose builder and architect was God. That's what he was looking for. And you see, that's exactly what we look for. And that is why we keep traveling towards what John Bunyan calls the celestial city. The celestial city. And that is what being a Christian is all about. It's being on this pilgrimage where we go this pathway in this life that leads us to the celestial city. Now, there are three basic things I want you to notice about this psalm, and I want you to notice about the journey, because Psalm 120 is more about the journey. These 15 psalms have within them, and I'm not going to explain it too much, but I'm just going to say this, have within them another pattern. And they have within them the pattern of the journey, the help that comes from the Lord, and the promise of the celestial city. So when you read Psalms 120 to 134, you will keep reading about the journey, what the journey is like. But then you will also read alongside of it how the Lord helps you on that journey. I look unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Now, you see, they may have been looking at those hills. Most people think they would apply those verses by saying that they look at the hills and they say, the Lord made those hills. But that may not have been the case. They may not have looked at the hills in that way. They may have said, I looked unto the hills, and they may have thought, how am I going to climb those hills? Look how steep they are. There's so many hills in life. There's so many difficult pathways that the Lord takes us along. I look unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He'll help me walk those hills. He'll help me over those mountains as I journey towards Jerusalem, towards the celestial city. So the first thing that I want you to notice in this particular psalm is how the psalmist describes his condition. Remember, he's a pilgrim. Remember that he is heading towards where? Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to the city of God. He's going to the place that he loves. He's going to the place where he would like to stay. He would love to stay in Jerusalem. That's where his heart is. But he says this, I call on the Lord in my distress. You see, while he's on the journey, he's in distress. This is a very strong word that he uses here to describe his condition. He is in the midst of trials and difficulties. In actual fact, he is surrounded by a situation that is pressing in on him. That's what the word means, to be in distress. It is pressing in on him, and it's almost squeezing the spiritual life out of him. That's how serious it is. But then he also says later on in the psalm, in verse 5, he says, "Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, and I live among the tents of Kedar." He not only says, "I'm in distress," but he says, "Woe is me." He says, "Look at my condition. Look at where I am." Here he's walking along all those rough roads through Palestine. The heat is beating down upon him. He is surrounded by people all around him. And he looks at them and he says, "Look at where I'm living. Look at where I'm living. I'm living in this barren desert. I'm struggling." You know, that is why in Psalm 121, where it speaks about the protection of the Lord, it says, "The sun will not burn you by day, nor the moon by night." You see, you're exposed to the elements on this journey, and he certainly feels it. But here he mentions two places. Now, these places seem to have been notorious dark places, morally and spiritually. Yeah, he is on his journey to heaven, but look at where he's got to live. Look at the conditions around him. Look at what the world is like around him. He says, "Woe is me." He says, "I've been here for too long. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace." What he's doing is he's on this journey, but everything around him is against him. Everything is discouraging him from walking towards the celestial city. You know, it's like the Christian. The Christian finds no encouragement in this world. My dear brother and sister, if you are a believer this morning, there's no encouragement for you in this world. The world's got nothing to offer us. You see? And as you go on this journey, the world is going to pull you down. It's going to discourage you. Every morning that you wake up, this life will be stressful. It'll be dark. It'll be hard. It is uncertain. You don't know what may befall you. Because you see, it is, "Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." You're in a barren land. A land that does not offer you the peace. It doesn't offer you the comfort that you are looking for. And so many a time in this life, you are going to be discouraged, and I'm going to be discouraged. But you see, the psalm is a reminder to us of where we are going and why we must keep going. You see, I'm not interested in New Year's Day because it's the end of something or the beginning of something. I'm interested in every day because every day I must remain faithful. Every day I must live for the Lord. And I must do so knowing the difficulties that I face around me. And so he describes his situation here as one who is exposed to all this darkness and this opposition. He says, "I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war." You see, the world wages war on the Christian. You go to work, you feel the war. Sometimes you feel it when you gather together with your family over Christmas time. You're a Christian, but no one else is. And you feel. And you just want to let go, and you want to become part of the world. You want to stop the journey. It becomes too much. You become weary. You see? And so the psalmist here says that's how he's feeling. He's almost feeling that the journey has become too much for him. "In my distress, I call to the Lord." You see, there's the second thing he tells us. He tells us his condition, and then he tells us what he does. He calls to the Lord. In actual fact, a better translation for that verse is, I cried to the Lord. The NIV is too soft. He cries to the Lord in his distress. He almost shouts out in desperation. It's a plea. He cries out. And what does he cry out for? He says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me, save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Again, the language that is used here is the language of deliverance. He says, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Do you remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray? He said, you should pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what the psalmist is praying. He's saying, Lord, please deliver me. And specifically what he refers to here are lying tongues and a deceitful tongue. Now, it seems odd that the psalmist should pray for this. That his greatest enemy as he goes on this journey are lying tongues and lying lips and deceitful tongues. What is he saying? What does he mean when he talks like this? Well, he's speaking from his heart, and he's speaking as a child of God. You see, the thing about the world that we live in is that it's a world of lies. We live in a lying world. It lies all the time. And the big danger is we might believe it. It's deceitful. We live in a deceitful world. You see, the psalmist here on his journey appears to be having all these voices speaking to him, calling him elsewhere. But they're all lying to him. They're all pulling him away from following the Lord. You know, Jesus called the devil the father of lies. And that's who he is. In the book of Revelation, he's called the deceiver of the nations. He deceives. And you know how he does it? He lies. Do you know how the devil deceived Eve? He lied to her. She said to him, God said, if I eat thereof, you will surely die. And Satan said to her, you will not die. You see, all around us in our world, we are faced by this dark tsunami of lies. You know, our politicians lie to us. Our advertisers lie to us. The television lies to us. Hollywood lies to us. You know, sometimes we're watching, Jenny and I will be watching one of these TV programs, and she gets all into it. Now, I'm sitting there supposed to being the groot man, but I'm actually also getting a bit moved, but I'm not showing it. And then I play the fool with Jenny. I say to her, it's not real. She says, I know it's not real, but I'm enjoying it. You see, the world tells us that live for today. The world tells us that everything that matters is this world. You must be concerned about what happens to you in this world. Make sure you've got a good pension. And they lie about your pension too. You discover when you go on pension. You see, our buildings no longer have the inscription to the glory of God. They now have the inscription Trump Towers. In days gone by, when they built their buildings, they said, in God we trust. Now the building is called BP Center. It's all worldly. And you see, the trouble with us is we even lie to ourselves. We believe our own lies. And I suppose the greatest danger that we face is that we lie to ourselves. We like to believe things that are not true. We are so gullible that we will even believe a lie. I just want to say this to you. Be careful that you are not believing a lie, because it is so easy. And you see, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. And you see, the psalmist seems to hone in on this terrible thing that he is living with, to the extent that he actually sees that his very soul is in danger. You know, in the New American Standard Version, which is a better translation of verse 1, it's, the psalmist is actually saying, deliver my soul. Sorry, 120 verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Because a lie can destroy your soul. And if you believe a lie, you could land up in hell. You see? And just like Satan tempted Eve in the garden, so the psalmist here is tempted along the road that he journeys to be pulled down and to be destroyed by lies. And then I want you to notice the third thing. The first thing is the psalmist is on a journey. That's what the psalm is about. Now remember, I said to you, this starts in a rather dark place. But you see, the thing I'm trying to do to you this morning is I want to tell you the truth. I'm not here with a New Year's card from Hallmark. I'm bringing to you the reality of the Word of God, which is why this psalm starts with the psalmist in distress and it ends with him in distress, because that is the reality of life. The reality of life is that the journey, the pilgrimage, is very difficult, but we must keep going by God's grace. And you see, we're going to hear all sorts of lies to distract us. Lies about life, lies about death. The worst thing, you're going to hear lies about God. You're going to hear lies about Christ and about the cross. You are going to hear lies about your circumstances, just like this Satan did to Eve. You know, when Satan came to her and said, you know, didn't God say you can eat of everything? You see? And Eve said, no, well, you can't do this, but God said you can eat that, but not that. And then he said this to you. You see, God knows when you eat of that, you will be just like him. You see, what Satan was doing was lying about God, and he was trying to portray a picture of God that was nasty. And you know, the devil's going to lie about your circumstances and mine. About life. Sorry, I put an alarm on, so that's my snooze now, so I'll stop. I've got 5 minutes to go. And so the psalmist is been very careful about these lies subverting his life and destroying his very soul. So firstly, the psalmist speaks about his distress. He speaks secondly about his response in prayer, and he calls out to God for deliverance. You know, every morning that we wake up should be a cry to God to deliver us from evil. Every day. Deliver me, Lord, from believing a lie. Deliver me, Lord, because I so easily believe these lies. Help me to remain true to your word as I walk the journey. But the third thing that the psalmist says here is that the Lord will hear and he will answer. You know, the Lord does answer prayer. The problem is we don't pray. But the Lord doesn't always answer prayer in the way that we like him to, in the way that we think he should. You see, you know, we would have thought that the Christian life would have been easier and much better than what it is. Why must people suffer? Why did Christians suffer? We always think that the Christian life should be plain sailing. We feel that it should be smooth. But the Christian life is not like that. It is a pilgrimage. It is a journey through a barren land. And we must be aware of that. But the great comfort that we have is God will answer. And he answers us in a number of different ways. You see, the psalmist is, in spite of the fact that his circumstances haven't changed, he still believes God has heard him. Notice what he says. I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. You see, whenever you read in the Psalms of the psalmist praying, no matter how difficult those circumstances may be, and no matter whether God actually changes those circumstances or not, the psalmist is always assured that God hears and answers prayer. And I want to say this to you. God has answered every one of your prayers. He has answered every one of my prayers, and he has answered them in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the answer to every one of your prayers. The cross is an answer to every prayer, for every struggle, for every heartache, for every disappointment, for every tragedy. The death and resurrection of Jesus keeps us going on the road, on the pilgrimage, because we know the destination is certain. It is certain, because God hears and God answers prayer. And God one day will judge. He will judge all the lies. He will one day judge all the deceit. And he will bring it to an end. So the psalmist expresses his distress. He prays to the Lord for deliverance, and he's assured that God answers. And the last thing he says is, he describes his goal in life. And his goal in life is, he says this, I am a man of peace. I am a man of peace. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I am a man of peace, or a woman of peace, in the midst of your distressful circumstances. And you remember Jesus said, my peace I give you. Not the peace that the world gives. I give you my peace. You see, the psalmist is not a bitter man. He's not angry. He doesn't retaliate to the circumstances of his life in anger or bitterness. He does so with a message of peace. In actual fact, we are told here that he speaks this message of peace. You see, even though we live in this world, and you remember the Negro spiritual song that we also used to sing many years ago, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, what the song is telling us is that peace that we seek is the peace of heaven, and it is the peace of the gospel. It is the peace that Jesus brings into our lives, and so God has answered our prayers. And so in wrapping all of this up this morning, what I want to say to you is that in this psalm, the problem is not resolved. This is an unresolved psalm. But it's not a bitter psalm. It's not an angry psalm. It is the psalm of the believer who is on his pilgrimage traveling to the celestial city. And you see, that is what we are doing this morning. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens of this world. This world for us is a wilderness. And we travel through it agonizingly each day in distress. But as we travel through it, we bring a message of peace. The peace of Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we long for that day when we will be ushered in to the celestial city and we will arrive at our destination. And that is the great hope of the psalmist. The great hope of the psalmist perhaps is bound up in the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 when he says this, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for this psalm that reminds us of the journey of the Christian life. And yet it also places before us the great hardships and the difficulties that we must face. Lord, help us to see that this is not your ultimate purpose and end for your children, but that we are merely traveling through a barren land, through a wilderness. And help us to keep our eyes on the goal, that calling which we have received in Christ Jesus to come to heaven, to the city of God, to the New Jerusalem. And so won't you encourage and strengthen us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.